Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Mark chapter 16, verse 14 through 20, and Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Randy Asbury is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 43 days ago, our Lord engaged in fierce combat. By dying, he defeated sin, death, and hell for us. 40 days ago, he rose victorious from the grave, scattering his enemies and watching those who hate him flee before him. But that's not the end of the story. Today, we get the victory parade. Now, ascensions are not unique in Scripture. First, there was Enoch. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then there was Elijah. A chariot of fire and horses of fire separated him from Elisha, his protege, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Of course, Jesus' ascension is grander and more important than those of Enoch or Elijah. And we can also remember Joseph. After his slavery and captivity, God made him second in command in all Egypt. And what about David? After his long exile on the lam from Saul, David became king over all Israel. In the same way, our Lord Jesus, after his suffering, is given dominion over all things, and all things are put under his feet. He drank from the brook by the way, and therefore has lifted up his head. And so St. Mark tells us, after he had spoken to his disciples, Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Acts says he was lifted up and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus did not just disappear. His disciples saw him ascend into heaven. And Jesus is no absentee landlord. He's still very much with, in, and over his church. Just not apparent to the sense of sight, but very much present in the sense of hearing. And not only did Jesus ascend, but even now he also sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Neither Enoch nor Elijah nor David nor Joseph could do that. Only Jesus, true God begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, can do that. Ascend far above the heavens, sit at God's right hand, fill all things, and still be present with us. So what does all this mean for us? Just as Jesus suffered, bled, died, rose again for us, he also ascended for us and for our salvation. He led a host of captives in his train and gave gifts to his human creatures. God disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And here St. Paul conjures up the image of a mighty, victorious Roman ruler returning from his glorious military campaign. The Roman victor would sit upon a gleaming golden chariot and wear a brilliant golden breastpiece and laurel wreath on his head. Jesus, though, presents himself much more gloriously in his ascension. He makes the clouds his chariot. He is clothed with splendor and majesty, covering himself with light as with a garment. On his head are many diadems, because he has been crowned with glory and honor. Before the Roman, victorious Roman ruler, were paraded the conquered people, hands tied behind their backs. With Victor Jesus, the sinning angels, along with conquered sin and defeated death, are committed to the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. For the victorious Roman ruler, there was shouting and jubilation and instruments playing beautiful music. At Christ's ascension, there are thousands upon thousands of holy angels shouting in jubilation at his eternal victory. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet, up through endless ranks of angels, cries of triumph in his ears. And what do they sing? Lift up your gates. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And as the Roman Emperor Victorious entered the Capitolium, the temple of Jupiter in Rome, he would toss out money to adoring bystanders. He'd give many other gifts as well. When Jesus ascended, he entered no earthly temple, but rather God's house made, not made with hands eternal in the heavens. And when he entered this heavenly palace, he gave gifts to men. Gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Gifts given in water, words, bread and wine, and especially the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. Gifts far more glorious than a Roman ruler could ever give. What else does Jesus' ascension mean? Jesus is the mighty one who opens the breach and goes up before his people. Now they break through and pass the gate, going out by it. What gate is that? That locked gate to heaven and the tree of life. Remember what happened way back when we human creatures fell into sin. God drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. But now that Jesus has suffered, died, risen, and ascended for you, the gate to heavenly paradise has been once more opened for you. He makes known to us the path of life. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so Jesus' ascension also means that you and I have a gracious mediator, an advocate. He is the one who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us, for you. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And finally, our Lord ascended to heaven in order that he might seat our human nature in the highest glory and dignity. He who is fully human ascended to make us fully human again. And as we'll hear in the communion liturgy, he was taken up into heaven that he might make us partakers of his divine life. He is our head. We are members of his body, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And so Jesus' ascension gives us great hope. How did he say it? I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there will my servant be also. Our God has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As Johann Gerhard once proclaimed it, if Christ has become the Lord of heaven, then he will also one day receive we who serve him in his kingdom. Therefore, just as our love is established through Christ's suffering, and our faith is established through his resurrection, so also our hope is mightily strengthened through his ascension. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.